OWW Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling, OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The Beast! The man!
You gotta beat the man!
Whoa! It looks like there's a new sheriff in town!
And man, is it about time!
And this is not a mirage! This is real! This is here! This is now! This is the second coming!
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojelicious? Wojelicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcik, quickly, is it?
It's Wojcik, Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
Say these words. Online World of Wrestling Radio is on the air. No, you're not in a drug-induced hallucination. No, you're not in a super-duper time warp or a hot tub time machine. That's right. I'm Alan Wojcik. Welcome to the brand new, absolutely brand spanking new, is that neat intro that's a rockin' set up, OWW Radio. 888-357-9876, option one tonight. If you're a Skyper, Sir Rockin' is the guru of the board tonight. And as with the older show, we're going to unfortunately open with some sad news. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling, during the 70s and 80s, this name may mean something to you. Masaru Rusher Kimura unfortunately passed away this past weekend. He was 68 years old. If you're a fan of Pro Wrestling Noah, then you know this name because he was an undercard comedy figure who had been active since the 70s. Now, this is amazing. This guy has been in the business since the late 70s, early 80s, and was a star of the IWE promotion, which at the time was Japan's third largest wrestling organization. And he headlined against some of the very huge names, including the senator in Japan and the current WWE Hall of Famer, Antonio Inoki, and also went on to become a tag team partner of the late, great Giant Baba, former NWA World Champion and promoter over there. He was known for comedy matches that would end with him doing comedic interviews, which are usually about Giant Baba. So if you're a fan of Japanese wrestling, we wish you a good blessing with that. And speaking of comedy, I now have figured out a way to become a WWE creative team member. Now, stay with me, because if you watched Monday Night Raw last night during John Lovitz's segment with the lovely Bella Twins, who it seems that's all they're good for right now, and I feel bad because Nicole and Brianna are actually very good people. The guy with the ball that popped out of his head, his name is Joe Francosi. I'm probably butchering his last name. And, yeah, he's the newest member of their creative team. He worked for Rick Bassman's Ultimate Pro Wrestling, which, if that name sounds familiar, that's how John Cena got into the WWE. He was the prototype in their promotion. And believe it or not, Taking his eyeball out was how he got hired. Now, this isn't the first time a WWE creative person has been on. Big Dick Johnson, the guy at DX, sprayed on his butt and danced around all naked. Yeah, he's creative, too. So is Ed Koski, who hosted the commercials during the commercial-free Monday Night Raw. That was interesting. We also learned something this past weekend before we get into the Over the Limit. It was Over the Limit. Hyping. If you're a movie company, do not promote your movie on Monday Night Raw. The folks at MacGruber would love you to listen to what I'm about to say. Their movie that starred some WWE people as a part of MacGruber's team generated, hang on for me, $4.1 million this past weekend at the box office. It got murdered by Shrek 4 and other films that are already out, including Iron Man 2. So, great job, WWE, on promoting that film. Apparently this week, this Monday night, Ashton Kutcher of the new film Killers. I would have rather had Katherine Heigl, but hey, I'm a guy. What do you want from me? Also apparently down the road, three members of the A-Team film, Bradley Cooper, Carlito Sharpley, or however, the guy from District 9, is also on, and Quentin Rampage Jackson is going to be on as well. This is an abbreviated version of this show. This was literally thrown together at the last minute, so I apologize for it. Well, sucking. We're being really good. I'm not sure how this is going to go. Let's get real fast for people that didn't listen to WTR this past Sunday. Yes, that was on their show. Yes, we had a blast. Yes, a lot of injuries happened. There won't be any injuries during this show unless somebody calls in and tries to kill me. Let's talk Over the Limit real fast. This was a very interesting pay-per-view for two reasons. One, because we got to see Dave Bautista say, I quit, when he was going to be thrown off a beautiful Camaro and then got dumped on his ass anyway and quit the next night. But I'm foreshadowing. Stay with me. A guy who someone on this show once said is not over, never will be over with the fans, is your new Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. That's right. Kofi Buck Kingston is your new Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. Unless something happens tonight at TV and Drew McIntyre comes out with another note from Vinnie Mac going, no, I really want him to be the champ. He has to be the champ. Well, that happened. You had not one, not two, not three injuries during this show. Three of them. We'll get to one first. Ron the Truth Killings, who is currently United States Heavyweight Champion. Way to go, Ron Killings. I can't call him R-Truth. It just doesn't work. Sorry, creative. You need to get him a better name. Apparently helped aid the million-dollar champion Ted DiBiase Jr. into getting a concussion. Now, apparently it happened possibly at one of the house shows over the weekend, and it took a couple head slaps, legit pops to the melon, and Ted DiBiase Jr. got knocked silly, and I feel bad. And we're going to slow it down for a second because this is where it gets to the weirdest part of this pay-per-view. And we talked about this on WTR the other night. So if I'm boring you with it, I apologize because this is called recapping. Rey Mysterio is not a member of the Straight Edge Society. And I called it last week. I had hoped he would have been a member of the Straight Edge Society because it would have been a better storyline. Yeah, he shaved CM Punk's flowing, lovely locks that apparently control all the Straight Edge Society. Okay, a head of hair is running the group. Cool. If you watch the pay-per-view, you saw one of the weirdest moments in recent WWE pay-per-view history as the show was stopped for a good 4 or 5 minutes. As we had to deal with CM Punk getting himself busted open the hard way, and at the end of the night, apparently not receiving 13 stitches, but 13 staples. God, that's going to hurt. To the forehead, and all he did was take, I think it was a flying head scissor into the barricade, and that barricade, I guess, had some jagged edges on it, because next thing you know, he's bleeding. Well, next thing you know, Ray Ray is lawn darted into the barber's chair. And he had to have been going, I wish I had a speed gun on it. He had to have been going at least 15 miles an hour. Now, here's where it got weird. Instead of sending somebody out to check on Mysterio's near-looking dead carcass, they kind of looked at him and said, all right, yeah, he's moving. Cool, into the ring. Let's deal with the little gash on his head. Now, I understand if you're on Monday Night Raw, if you're on SmackDown, you have some blood. Okay. But on a 3-hour pay-per-view, you're stopping it for the blood, which, was still flowing during the entire match, and if you were watching him shave his head, and I kept waiting for Father James Mitchell of TNA fame to come out and do the butcher job on my hair. If you're a fan of TNA wrestling back in the weekly pay-per-view days, he nearly scalped Raiden when he lost the match to Shane Douglas, and he used the barber shears and used it the wrong way. I was really hoping the Mystery Man would have been revealed. Obviously wasn't, and very confused on what the heck Kane was even doing out there. But I guess, hey, Kane needed a payday. They brought him out. Injury number two, depending on what story you believe, happened. Or actually, injury three. Sorry, I forgot about Teddy's concussion there. Happened to Randy Orton, who fought Edge to a double countout. There's been different medical reports on this. We've heard it's a shoulder injury. We've heard that he did some ligaments in his elbow and has a fracture in his forearm and his elbow. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. I'm sure we could find someone who plays a doctor on TV or is a doctor to join us and answer the question of what the heck happened to him, because it looked like he was setting up the RKO and pounced on the mat, and then he curled up in a ball, so... really weird. Let's say another really weird match. The match that a lot of people felt saved the pay-per-view, including myself, your WWE Unified Tag Team Champions, are still the Hart Dynasty as they defeated The Miz and Chris Jericho in one of the best tag team matches WWE has had in recent memory, possibly back to The Miz and Morrison, who are a very awesome tag team. Weirdest match of the night had to be The Big Show winning by a disqualification of Jack Swagger. It was just very weird, flowing match to have all of a sudden Swagger. I guess it's setting Swagger up to turn into the coward champion who's got to use the belt, got to do something to win. So that's how it went. Smack Big Show in the head. Big Show still knocked him out. So who knows? Maybe we'll get that at Fatal 4-Way. Or maybe not, depending on the format. Most boring match of the night had to be the Divas Championship match, Eve defeating Maryse. I really wish they would do something with Maryse because she is a very talented wrestler. And as I said, you still got the WWE Champion as your man, Marky Mark, John Cena, in a match that went everywhere. I mean, everywhere. I kept thinking back to the Benoit Sullivan matches of the late 90s. I expected them to end up in a ladies' room or Vince's office or the Divas' office. Apparently Randy Orton does have a fan out there in, Ken Anderson. I'm not hip to the Twitter, nor will I probably ever be hip to the Twitter, but he wrote this on his Twitter page that night. He said, I have one thing to say. Karma is a mother. Well, you get the idea. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. For fans that aren't aware of it, that was the story going around, is that Ken Anderson lost his WWE deal because of a match he had with Randy Orton where I guess he possibly injured Orton. I don't know. 888-357-9876 option 1 is the way to join OWW Radio, where all opinions are welcome. Skype's are rocking if you want to join us as well. Want to throw out a special congratulations to former WWE diva and GoDaddy girl Candice Michelle, whose baby daughter, Anki Ann Rose, I might be pronouncing that wrong, the kid's born and the kid's got a website already. I kid you not, look it up, the kid's got a website, possibly made by GoDaddy.com. That's awesome. This whole first segment is going to be WWE talk. And then we're going to get into some TNA news, and then we'll... I don't know what I'm doing the last half hour, because, like I said, I threw this together at the last minute. I especially want to thank Michael Cole for being an idiot on NXT Tuesday night. I wasn't able to watch any of it, because I was doing this. So, if you missed it, definitely go to WWE.com and see the most interesting storyline that looks like it's going to come out of NXT, and it is what's going on with Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, whatever you want to call him. Apparently tonight we're going to have some sort of in-ring confrontation with Michael Cole and Bryan Danielson. I don't get it. Unless Michael Cole is going to get in the ring and wrestle, why are we doing this? I don't understand it. I think Bryan Danielson did a great promo where he called out every wrestler and said, I know I'm better than all of you. And they kind of looked at CM Punk and I wanted to go, Punk, you guys had neat little thing in ROH. Oh, that's right, we can't talk indies in WWE. They don't exist. Tim Stein needs to invest in lotto tickets. In case you don't know who he is a producer on WTR and also the host of Wrestle Talk Radio. Because, as Sorokin and Spug and everybody else knows, Tim called what I'm about to say. We do have a new GM on Monday Night Raw. And he is the former five-time U.S. Heavyweight Champion and multi-time WWE, WCW Champion. Yeah, Bret the Hitman Hart is the new General Manager of Monday Night Raw. So much for his contract being up on May 17th, kids. And Vintage Wrestling here in Florida unfortunately lost Bret. They were supposed to have Bret in July, I believe it was, for an autograph signing, and they announced it a little too early, and next thing you know, yeah, you've got a new GM, Bret the Hitman Hart, who set up last night. I mentioned Ron Killings, R-Truth, whatever you want to call him. He is your new United States Heavyweight Champion. He defeated the former champion, The Miz. I'm happy Ron's got a belt. I would have liked to have seen this made into a mini tournament where you had eight men and each one that won the match. You got four guys. Put him in Fatal 4-Way for the belt. That's how you get Bryan Danielson in there. Could have put Kofi in there. Could have put anybody. Could have put three guys of any kind in there. Oh, I'm sorry. Spug called it too. Alright, I apologize, Bug. We'll get you some Powerball lottery tickets. I think Powerball's up to 190 million right now. The other thing to come out of Monday Night Raw, Dave Bautista. If he was so injured with spinal fractures and everything, I'm not a medical person, but if you got spinal fractures, what the hell are you doing? You walk into a ring, getting in a ring just so you could sit down, do a promo, and say, I quit? Why didn't you just get wheeled out, do it on the rampway, and then leave? So who knows where this is going, because Batista is apparently in press interviews and rumored and said, I'm quitting, I'm done, they took my movie role away from me, I'm leaving. I don't know. Interesting stuff. He disappeared the entire night. If you were sitting there, like a lot of us were doing, watching the Hart Dynasty defeat William Regal and Vladimir Kozlov, and next thing you know, who the hell is that? I'll be honest, I thought it was the Dude Busters until I saw the Dreads. And then thanks to watching FCW TV, my friend Mike LaCorey texted me, he's going, dude, the Usos just debuted. I was like, what? Yeah, that is Jimmy and James Uso, who are former WWE superstar Rikishi Fatu's children. And the girl is Serona Snuka, who I believe works in FCW as Tamina. And this brings up a real interesting thing. You've got these people competing on a show tonight on an NXT, on Sci-Fi, that, in case you didn't realize it, all eight of them are WWE developmental contract wrestlers. And you have three people who were also in developmental that they basically just said, you know what, you guys don't need to do this TV show. Forget it. You're a tag team. Go pass it around. Go ahead. Go on. Now, the rumor going around, I guess the story going around with that setup was that was originally supposed to be Carlito and Primo Colón was supposed to be in that situation. And, well, they're not, because in case you didn't realize it, Carlos Colón Jr., also known as Carlito, was released last week for a wellness violation after he apparently showed up at Raw in Toronto last week unable to perform. He wasn't fired because he failed a drug test or anything. They're claiming that that's the reason they got rid of him. Now, I was a little bored today, so I went on WWE's corporate website. And here's three different things from their website about their policy. Such as, how many times a year do you test WWE talent? The program requires random testing of all WWE talent a minimum of four times a year, and it's independently administered by Aegis Sciences Corporation. Now, in case you didn't know it, here's the penalties for a positive test. They do have a three-strike rule. First strike is 30-day suspension without pay. Now, they could have done that to Carlito. I guess they decided not to. Second strike, 60 days without pay. Third strike is termination of your WWE contract, and the policy says that WWE talent to test positive and receive a strike is subject to follow-up testing. Now, the follow-up testing is after they take a test and remain positive, they get a strike. They're tested an average of 16 times for a period of 1 year. And if you're sitting there going, I like to smoke the grass from now on time again. Hey, the TNA World Champ is known for that. Well, if you get busted with the doobie snack, not only are you suspended for 30 days, you get fined $2,500. That better be the best, Sir Smoke-A-Lot created doobie in the history of humankind. Now, I guess Spug is saying in the WTR chat room, somebody asking Carlito sue. Probably not. I mean, I'm not a legal person. I'm sure we could find a few legal people out there. But if you sign for this contract and you're told, don't show up screwed up at our job or we're going to can you. Look what happened to Eddie Guerrero back in the day. If you're a fan of Eddie Guerrero and you saw his Cheating, Death, Living Light, whatever that DVD was in the follow-up book, he admitted to being Dean Malenko and the late Chris Benoit were at WWE House Show or TV, and they try to stop him from being seen by Jim Ross. And he's unfortunately the reason that there is a wellness policy to this degree, because he died while he was on the WWE payroll. Do I feel bad for Carlito? No, I don't. You knew the rules. You screwed up. Now, apparently, Carlito's not doing any talking, but his dad is. Carlos Colon, the legendary promoter of WWC in Puerto Rico, did an interview with Primera Hora, who claims that Carlito has a problem with painkillers, and that's why he was released from WWE. He blamed it on the backstabber, which is Carlito's finishing move, saying doing it, that move, repeatedly involving 300-pound men falling on Carly and messing up his knees and back. Carlos Colon Sr. claims that Carlito didn't think he had a problem and the whole family had flown in to his home in Houston and was pressuring him to go undergo the rehab that WWE had offered and that he would clean up and get his job back. Okay, Carly, why didn't you do it, dude? William Regal's been in and out of it for years. He's there. Tons of guys have been in and out of it. Randy Orton got busted. Rey Mysterio got busted. They all got busted. He could have done his time and left, but this is a guy who was under contract and in numerous print interviews before this, years before this, had said, I'm not happy. I'm thinking of going to TNA. I don't know. Good luck. Maybe he's going to TNA, maybe not. I don't know. If you're a fan of Ultimate Fighting and you've always wondered, what does Dana White think of this stuff? What does Dana White think of TNA? What does he think of WWE? Go to the Miami Herald website. I'm not sure if Jim Varsalone did this interview or not. Someone did an interview with Dana White where he was asked if he ever had any interest in cross-promoting with WWE or TNA. And I quote Mr. White, not really, but I do have a great relationship with both. TNA has always been great. They're on Spike TV, too. And not only do I have a good relationship with Vince McMahon, but I also have a lot of respect for him. We've always played well together, but there's never been any real talk of doing anything together. Now, I don't know if Quentin Rampage Jackson is under UFC contract, but I guess for promoting the A-Team for 20th Century Fox, he's appearing on WWE TV, I guess. I don't know if they're going to mention him as a UFC guy. Your thoughts on anything that I've just rambled through out of control at 90 miles an hour? 888-357-9876, option 1. In case you're wondering how Fatal 4-Way is going to work, Bret the Hitman Hart said it, that all the championships, unless something's going to change here, are going to be held under Fatal 4-Way rules. And we found out last night, not only is WWE champ John Cena in a match, but this is where I don't understand WWE creative, and I got into this argument with someone else in previous weeks, and I don't know why we ever got into it, because I guess he was killing time. Heaven forbid kill time on a show. You've got three guys in this match who have already been world champion, WWE champion in some form or fashion, including one of them that might not even make it to the pay-per-view. Because he couldn't wrestle, because Batista wouldn't wrestle, Randy Orton is in this match already. Randy won by forfeit. Sheamus is in. And Edge is in. I don't understand the booking at all. I know maybe we need to get the guy with the fake eye or the Big Dick Johnson guy in here or the Nickelodeon writers that work for them to explain. You've been doing this push with the FCW kids like Kofi, like Ted DiBiase, the Dude Busters, Drew McIntyre. You've been doing this whole young people push. Sheamus is a part of it. And next thing you know, we're like, all right, let's just take three guys that have won the belt already. We know we can put them in a match, and they'll do good. I guess that's what's going on here. I don't know. I really wish I could explain WWE's booking, but we've got a few weeks to get to this Fatal 4-Way pay-per-view, which Christian's obviously going to be involved in some form or fashion, kids. He's on the poster. Go to On Demand's website or In Demand, whatever the pay-per-view provider you're in, DirecTV, Dish. Look at the poster. He's on it. So, I don't know what to make of it. Oh my God, is that the Sir Rockin? That's the Sir Rockin with... Oh, look at that. I think we got someone that wants to join us here.
Why
Hello,
wouldn't I
Spud?
Want to join? Why wouldn't I want to join you?
I don't know, man.
You know, they already have a match listed for that pay-per-view, by the way.
Besides the one I just mentioned, what else do they got listed?
Just the main event, John Cena, Sheamus... I had to walk away from my computer, so I didn't hear you talk about it, if you had mentioned
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's Cena, Edge,
Sheamus, and
Orton. Yeah, which was also really weird, because they announced that Edge, Jericho, and Marky Mark were in the match last night. And I'm talking to Rockin', we're flipping between hockey. Congrats to Philly and Chicago. I know I'm not supposed to talk hockey without Tim Stein around, but I do it anyway. And they made it announced that Cena was in this triple threat last night. Now, if Jericho or Edge had won, they would have advanced into this match. But if Marky Mark wins, neither one of them wins. It's just like, huh? Why not just let Cena sit on the sideline, let him sit with Cole, do some commentary, or whatever, and let Jericho and Edge have their WrestleMania rematch? I don't understand it.
I don't know, dude. It's WWE booking. But at least, I will say this, at least they got it right with Rikishi's twin sons and Snuka's daughter and the Hart Dynasty. At least they got it right. Because that's one feud I'm really looking forward to.
This is the kind of thing that irks me, is that I'm pissed that Carly Colon quit, because you could have brought the Uso boys up and you could have had a triple threat type thing with second, third generation kids. Instead, dumbass does it. Maybe they're going to bring Tito Colon up. He's in FCW. Yeah, he's related to the Colons. It's like, there's not a Samoan around. It's a Colon coming in.
Maybe they'll bring Carlito back. I don't know. Carlito has been known to throw his temper tantrums, so maybe he comes back, and maybe they do something. This could be the revitalization of the tag team division in WWE that it so desperately needs.
Mm-hmm. Now, that don't know it, you're in the business. You are a trained professional wrestler. You have wrestled. You've been backstages at shows. How messed up did Carlito have to be for WWE to tell him, go back to the hotel, we'll see you later? For a company that at one point had Jeff Hardy on the roster, all these guys, Benoit, Guerrero, Jeff Hardy, Van Damme, how messed up do you got to be to not be able to perform?
I don't know, because let's put it this way. Firestorm Pro here in Cleveland let Jake Roberts perform, and we all saw the YouTube video of how messed up he was.
Oh, God.
That night, AIW let him perform.
Okay.
We all saw how messed up he was. So, I don't know. I've seen guys in the back high. I've seen them drunk. And I've seen them still work. Indie promoters don't care. They don't care. So, I don't know, but for WWE, he had to be pretty messed up for them to say, you know what, go home.
Yeah, and I don't know what Carly was making on the payroll, but as we mentioned, and you just brought it up, the guy was never happy when he was on the roster. He had said at certain points, I'd love to go to TNA, and never did. So we're going to take a break here at the top of the hour, 888-357-9976, option 1. Sir Rockin is the master of disaster tonight with us. He's celebrating his Flyers are going to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Thank God it's not a Canadian team.
Oh, I was hoping for an Original Six matchup, but that's another show that isn't on the air right now. That's the Spug. I'm Alan Wojcik. OWW Radio. Yeah, we're live. We're back on the air. It's a new day, kids. We'll be back after this break.
Plus,
the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Pogue, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the Pro Juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rockin, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this
show. Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hog Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey everyone, it's Tim Stein here to tell you about a brand new podcast debuting soon, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The History Of will take you on a fantastic journey as we look at some of the most famous rock groups, funny people, and actors and actresses of all time. Utilizing the video abilities of Ustream as well as the lossless stereo sound of internet audio, The History Of will bring a totally new experience to Wild Talk Radio. So make sure that you join me, your host, Tim Stein, as we take a look at the history of some of your most favorite people ever. Make sure to keep a lookout for this brand new webcast coming soon, only to Wild Talk Radio.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
Option 1, OWW Radio is on the air. Yes, we are sponsored by the online world of wrestling.com, an awesome website that's been around for a long time. Brad Dykens, Jason Dedrich do an awesome job. You want to know anything about anybody in wrestling, they've got bios there that just run on and on and on. And if it weren't for them on a few occasions, I wouldn't have been able to do any of the interviews I've done over the last 9 years. Sir Rockin is our board op tonight here, thanks to the Skype network. You can talk with him. Spug from the WTR show has joined me here as well, and we're going to do some TNA news. In case you don't know the song that just played, well, I guess you're not a fan of the Tennessee Cowboy, James Storm, and Beer Money. And interesting thing to come out of this past couple weeks with TNA, Spug, there's actually more off-camera stuff going on than on. We heard Lacey Von Erich mentioned. She actually came out publicly, I think it was either on her Twitter or Facebook, that she was possibly going to have to quit TNA wrestling due to personal issues that I never expected to be aired about her son. Because she has a young boy that the father wanted to take custody away due to her travel schedule. Why air this kind of laundry is the first kind of question I want to ask the general public, and even you. I mean, how much information is too much information? Do we really need to know? No, I ate breakfast today. I had a white omelet. I had this.
Well, I'm going now, now you're getting into a whole other topic for a whole different time, and I will agree with you. But let's not forget, in today's media day and age, they had helicopters flying over the sex rehab clinic where Tiger Woods was supposedly staying for 3 weeks.
Maybe they were having sex in the rehab place. Who knows? I don't get it.
But, you know, I don't know if I necessarily agree with her putting all that out there. You know, that's just fodder for any bottom-feeding lawyer to get a hold of in a custody hearing.
Right.
But if you're going to, good on her for having some family values and wanting to say, hey, I'm going to leave this and take care of my family. Good for you. At least there are a few people left in this world with decent morals.
Yeah, it's a tough situation because I look back at Tough Enough 1. I know we're talking TNA here, but let's look back for a second. If you're a fan of WWE and you watch Tough Enough Season 1 that was on MTV, Episode 1 or 2, where they were actually in Stanford, Triple H showed up and told all of them, this is a tough business that you're going to be in. In this current era, I'm not sure how many days a year they're on the road. Back when we grew up watching wrestling, I met Barry Windham at a show a few months ago. He said, I mean, at one point, him and Rotunda, when they were the WWF Tag Team Champions, did 96 straight days on the road. Think about that for a second, fans. That's 3 months and 6 days where you don't see your wife, your kids, and whoever. Triple H said it best at that point. It said, and this was before he married the boss's daughter and was able to take time and be with his kids. You know, you're married to the road. You're married to whoever. I know TNA doesn't have as heavy a hardcore schedule. They're trying to. They're really trying to get a Thursday, Friday, Saturday type swing going, but I honestly wish her the best. Here's someone that I'm not sure what to wish the best for. your friend and ours,
hey yo,
Scott Hall, now current TNA World Tag Team Champion. It seems to be the thing in wrestling, Spug. You get in trouble with the law, and we make you a champ. Stay with me, kids. The Orlando Sentinel here in Florida reported this past, I think it was on May 14th, Scott Hall was arrested, charged with disorderly conduct and resisting arrest at a bar called the Hitching Post in Seminole County, Florida. Police arrived on the scene and they witnessed the bartender standing in front of the entrance telling Hall to leave. He even arranged a ride for the former Razor Ramon, but when the car came, Hall punched out one of the windows. I guess he saw Vince Russo and said, no. Now, according to numerous witnesses, God, I wish I was one of them because I would have paid a dollar to watch this, Hall started getting aggressive in the bar after, oh my God, drinking heavily, and even went so far as to push a customer and argue with a female bartender. Now, this is where I guess the problem of taping your TV 3 weeks in advance before Slammiversary comes into trouble. Okay, you're Dixie Carter for a second there, Spug. You've got this guy on your roster who's supposedly staying clean, supposedly had, you know, he was staying out of trouble. He got rid of X-Pac because he missed the pay-per-view. What do you do with Scott Hall?
You can't fire him.
But he just fired Carlito.
What are you gonna refilm 3 weeks worth of television?
I don't know.
You gonna call guys back from their indie dates and say you can't do your indie dates because Scott Hall decided to go get drunk and screw up? I would take the belts off of him at Slammiversary first and foremost. That to me, I grew up watching wrestling in an era where the public persona was one where the guy with a belt at least had some amount of integrity and decency for the business. You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
And we all know Scott Hall's antics. How many times has he gone through rehab, tried to quit drinking, people have tried to get him help, and he doesn't want it. You know what? Let him wallow in his own misery and self-pity. Let him drown himself to death in alcohol.
Yeah, I think he's had more shots at rehab than Mike Starr, I think's his name, the former bassist for Alice in Chains, if you're not a fan of the reality. I'm not a big reality show person, but I did find on VH1 they had him on the Dr. Drew Pinsky rehab shows, and that just blew my mind. If he had been in and out of rehab 30-some-odd times, and if that band Alice in Chains doesn't mean anything to you, their former lead singer, Wayne Staley, killed himself on heroin, and he had been in and out of rehab about the same amount of time. So, he's another one like Carlito. I feel bad for Scott Hall, but hey, you did this to yourself, dumbass. Nobody told you, hey, I don't drink that beer. Don't do that. Everybody knows that I'm a big Ric Flair fan. This is an interesting note. This came out of Duluth, Minnesota's newspaper. They did a Q&A with the Nature Boy, and a gentleman named Jimmy Bellamy asked this question. After your emotional retirement send-off from WWE in 2008, the match at WrestleMania 24, and you said goodbye on Monday Night Raw, did you intend for your WrestleMania match with Shawn Michaels to be the last match of your career? Now, here's what the Nature Boy had to say, and I can't do a Ric Flair impression, as we found out on WTR, so I'm not going to do one. I don't know what I thought at the time. Remember, it was WWE that decided to retire Ric Flair. Obviously, it was very emotional for myself, Shawn Michaels, and my fans. It was not easy to do this for as long as I have, and then all of a sudden quit because the company you work for tells you to. I'm not bashing WWE, and I have great respect for the group. I believe that the whole setup was beautiful, and they did a great job with the Hall of Fame ceremony and the goodbye on Raw afterward, but I'm not ready to sit at home and build a garden. I feel great, I work hard, and I'm ready to keep going. I guess keep going means stealing pay-per-views from the talent, and I know I got into trouble for this on other shows. I have to say, I've had interviews with some legends, and I mean real big-time legends, like Roddy Piper, like Dusty Rhodes, like Mike Graham. And Roddy Piper, when I interviewed him, I brought up a question to him and said, when you're sitting there and you see someone like Ric Flair, who's late 50s, Hogan, late 50s, Terry Funk, who I think, if you ask Steve Corino, is 235 years old. I know it's, people say it's an addiction, that once you get in that spotlight, it's really hard to walk away. But at some point, you've got to just say to yourself, I'm not the Ric Flair that went 50-some-odd minutes with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat in Clash of the Champions 6. I'm not the 60-minute man. I may not even be the 60-second man anymore. At what point does creative go to him and say, Rick, we understand what you want to do, but dude, just be AJ's manager. Have your little semi-four horseman with Desmond Wolfe and beer money. Or is this a point that maybe Rick's got it in his contract, Spug? You know what? I'm Ric Flair, bitch. I can do what I want.
I would like to see him step aside. You know, Shawn Michaels said it best at the night after WrestleMania 25 when he said, I'm going to walk away like I said I would. You know, what was it after Flair's retirement on Raw a couple of years ago? Yeah, what was it? 3 weeks later, he was back on Raw as a road agent or some capacity.
Yeah, he was something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's been over a month now, and you have not seen almost two. You know, and you've not seen hide nor hair of Shawn Michaels. You know, haven't heard word one about him. Him being in the back or him showing up at events or anything like that. I wish when you retire, even if the company says, hey, it's time for you to step aside, I wish some of these guys would go, it's for the betterment of the business. And Ric Flair has always been one of those individuals who has said, I will do what I need to do for the business. Well, it's now's the time, Rick, and you're not doing it.
Well, you got to think back for a few seconds here. Yeah, I'm going to use a cheap plug here. I do reviews for AllMyWorldOfWrestling.com. I get DVDs sent to me. One of the most recent ones I got sent was by KayfabeCommentaries.com, and they do a thing called History of the WWE. This edition that came out, which I highly recommend, I'm not getting paid by Kayfabe to say this, is the years 1977 to 78. And if you're not a fan of the business going back that far, you'll know that that time frame was the time frame of a trendsetter guy that Hulk Hogan stole from, Jesse the Body stole from, tons of people stole from. And I'm referencing superstar Billy Graham. And Billy Graham said it best in the interview during this amazing 2 hours that he's on there. He was given the championship because he said, quite honestly, Bruno Sammartino sat down with Vince McMahon Sr., who ran everything back then, with Phil Zacco and I think Gorilla Monsoon, Gina Morella, and a couple other people. And he basically told him, said, look, I've been a champ on and off for 11 years. I'm done. I'm retired. I got to retire. I got to get out of here. He had the sense to get out when the getting was good. And then, of course, had his neck injury with Stan Hansen and everything like that. There's got to be a point where, I mean, look at Mike Rotunda. Mike Rotunda was great in the business in the 80s and 90s. I understand the next transition is like to a road agent. Look at the road agents that are on WWE's roster right now. It's a who's who of the business. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, Mike Rotunda. I think Ted DiBiase was in on and out for a while. I think Barry Windham was in and out for a while. Tony Garea has been there before. Pat Patterson. Now, I'm not saying if Ric Flair should become a road agent, but if you're a fan of the RF shoot video series, Shawn Michaels back in, he left after WrestleMania 14, injured, was out for 5 years, which is still amazing to think when you saw him come back. It was like, holy crap. And he said it was 2000 that the shoot was in, thanks to Rock. And he said to them, he said, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm ever going to get back in the ring, but what I would like to be to WWF, because he was still under some form of contract to them, was to be an ambassador to WWE. And this is before they had their on-demand channel, which keeps changing name every week. I think now it's WWE Classics On Demand. I think it should be WWE. We own everything, damn it. He said, I would love to be an ambassador to WWE. They're going to open up a market in India. They're going to open up a market in Europe. They need me to do somewhere. I think Rick kind of did that this past week. He went to England and announced some dates for them. So I wish it would happen. We found out this past week that if you go to a TNA live event, you never know who's going to show up. Like former world champion Booker T, who substituted for AJ Styles at a Lake Charles, I think it's in Louisiana, house show, where he took on the current champ, Rob Van Dam. Now, we're not sure if it's a one-and-done situation, but as we just mentioned, TV's in the can, so I don't know if Booker's coming back. Thanks to TV, we learned a couple of things. One, there's a neat top 10 system that almost felt like it was a game show. Come on down. You come on out. No, you come on out. No, you come on out. There's a top 10 system in place. Your number one contender is Sting. That's right.
Really?
Sting.
Really?
Who will take on Rob Van Dam in the main event of Slammiversary. Now, you're probably sitting there listening to me, fans, going, but, dude, you're wrong. You've got to be wrong. The King of the Mountain match is always the main event of Slammiversary, and has been for years. Uh-uh. Your main event, unless something's changing in the next couple weeks on TNA TV, your main event is Sting versus Rob Van Dam. Now, a previous host who, by legal reasons, I'm not allowed to talk about him. We're not going to talk about him. Like Mark McGuire once said, I'm not here to talk about the past. I'm here to talk about the present. Are you just on this match alone, fans and Spug, and you can join us at 888-357-9876 option 1. We don't bite. We've had all our shots, or at least I have. I don't know about Spug. We may have to check his records.
I don't get shots.
Okay, this one match alone, does this excite you to see this match on pay-per-view? Or is this a match that you're going, no King of the Mountain? I don't give a crap about it.
Well, we know I don't give a crap about TNA to begin with, but
I don't
to answer your question, the King of the Mountain is kind of synonymous with Slammiversary. You know, that is the main event. It always has been. So I don't know why they're changing it, what they feel the need to change it is, why they... Sting and RVD was going to draw. I mean, RVD on name recognition alone will draw.
Oh,
but
sure.
If you're going to do it right. You got guys like Desmond Wolfe, Ken Anderson, you know, hell, even AJ Styles. And you're going to put Sting in there? It makes no sense. And Rock said it in our backstage chat. Hall and Nash are our tag champs. Sting's in the main event for the title. WCW 98, anyone?
Pretty much. And it's weird. And I have the utmost respect for Sting. And if you've never been in the impact zone, as they call it in Orlando, or a live event, it gives you goosebumps, even at 50 years old, however old Steve Borden is, I think he's 50. When that music hits and those lights go down, you're a little kid sitting there going, holy crap, that's Sting, dude. And I can say it, I have witnessed King of the Mountain at least three times, twice in person, including Slammiversary 2007, where Kurt Angle came out of it, the champ. I was there the night that they rained bottles on the ring when Jeff Jarrett and Earl Hebner had the screw job of TNA history. To get rid of a signature match, what's next? They're going to say, you know, that lockdown pay-per-view, we don't need it. That little X Division thing looks great on your video game, don't need it. Why mess with what's not broken? As the old adage goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I know I'm not using proper English nomenclature, but hey.
Because it's TNA, and that's what they do.
Right. And that's the thing I don't understand. And people will say, well, it's Bischoff and Hogan trying to turn things and, you know, make things better. How are you making things better? This is an outfit that put a .5 up a few weeks ago on TV against the throwaway Monday Night Raw. Why get rid of a match that, if you go on DVDs, get the Jeff Jarrett King of the Mountain DVD from someone and look at some of them King of the Mountain matches. Death Spot Fest, sure, but hey, they get asses in the seats. That was it. We got TV coming in the next couple weeks. And the biggest, one of the bigger shocks was the number two contender came literally out of nowhere, which is former former champion and food guru now. If you go find Google Kurt Angle and food sales, and you'll find his really cool website. He did cut a good promo on their show basically saying, I'm abdicating my number two slot because I want to beat everybody from number 10 to number one to become world champ. Number 10 did become Frankie the Future Kazarian. Yes, they'll call him a future. They don't use it. I use his first name. Kaz just sounds stupid.
Wait,
he's
hold
lying
on.
To himself. Well, go ahead.
So, let me get this straight. Your number one contender is neither your former champion, your newest former champion, nor is it one of your rising up-and-comers. It's 50-plus-year-old Sting.
Right.
Who just ended a... Well, I shouldn't say ended. Put a cliffhanger on a feud with Jeff Jarrett. And your second choice for contender to your championship is not a guy that is currently working for you in any capacity. He's taking some time off to heal injuries and sell food after a steel cage match with Ken Anderson that took place back at the beginning of April. Those are your top, those are your first two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. This does not, you know what? Never mind. Never mind.
Well, it's one of those situations.
TNA said it for me.
Yeah. Now, remember, there's some people that are listening to the show that claim, but that's entertaining, dude. That's entertaining to have these guys there and to have somebody like Orlando Jordan on your roster who isn't in the top 10, but I think is performing down the road at Cirque du Soleil. There's some guys in that top 10 that are really good. I mean, I enjoyed watching RVD and Nigel McGuinness. I can't call him Desmond Wolfe. It's a real cool name, but sorry, that's former ROH World Champ Nigel McGuinness. Give the dude some respect. That could have been a pay-per-view match. TNA said, nah, put it on TV.
Where's Samoa Joe?
He's back, but he's in one of these situations where, I mean, this was the thing that got me into an argument a couple weeks ago, is the illogical booking of someone like Samoa Joe, who, when he debuted back in the day when he destroyed Sanjay Dutt and went on that enormous streak and had one of the best matches I've ever seen in person with Christopher Daniels and AJ Styles, I kept turning to the people I sit with and wait in line outside that were the Hoyta Maniacs and the Abyss Chanters. And it was just like, when are they putting the belt on this dude? He's a killer. He's awesome. Look at the matches he had in ROH. And I guess, you know, they were like, okay, we watch your matches in ROH, but we're TNA. We're not going to go that way. They put the shackles and the handcuffs on him, and then they're like, all right, here's the angle, Joe. Let's sit down and listen to this. We're going to throw you in the back of a van, and you're going to record this little hostage video, and then you're just going to debut out of freaking nowhere, coming back and not tell a soul what happened, why you look like you got facial tics like crazy. Maybe they subjected him to watching Cloverfield over and over and over, I don't know. Or Paranormal Activity, and he said, enough of this crap, I want to go kill people. And that's the storyline. There is none.
You know what? Somebody needs to hand Vinnie Mac a tape of Samoa Joe and Nigel McGuinness and Bryan Danielson and CM Punk from ROH, because I know all four of them worked each other at one point or another.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Vince doesn't just, watch
and that. Hand him a tape and go, if you book this, they will come.
Because yeah,
people
is,
will come in droves to mm-hmm. see that.
Of course, look at the ROH DVD sales if you can find the numbers. But the problem is, Jim Cornette, when he's not under criminal investigation for wanting to kill Vince Russo, one said while he was working for WWE, he had Nick Dinsmore under contract before the whole Eugene situation. And he kept sending tapes up to WWE, and he's like, who are your top three people in Ohio Valley? And he named Dinsmore, I think it was Basham, and someone else, and they took number 17, 18, 19. Vince doesn't watch Jack crap. He doesn't, and that's a shame.
I know. It's sad.
I know. That's the sad part. And I guess Johnny Laurinaitis isn't watching him either, the guy who signed the wrong one-legged dude. While we still got a couple minutes here, we're going to mention a couple quick news items. I got into trouble for talking about that I don't want Shelton Benjamin in my company. Well, apparently Jeremy Borash does. On a show called Right After Wrestling with Arda Oracle. Sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I think they're on Sirius XM or one of those cool things. Jeremy Borash noted that he had met with Shelton Benjamin after their TNA house show event in Houston, and he said that Benjamin, quote, is definitely someone that he could see in TNA. However, due to his WWE non-compete clause, he can't sign with any company with the company right now. For people that don't know who I am, I covered TNA wrestling on the ground from 2002 when they launched in Alabama and then went to Nashville and came to Florida to 2007. So I sat through Rhino coming in, Raven coming in, Christian Cage coming in, every former WWE star coming in. We had this talk on this show a few weeks back. Does TNA honestly need a Shelton Benjamin? I mean, could you just slide him right into the X Division with Kaz and Doug Williams and Kendrick and all these guys? Or are you sitting there going, nah, don't need him? If you're booking TNA, where are you going to plug this guy in?
The X Division.
Plug him straight into there? I mean, yeah. I can see him in an Ultimate X match. He'd have a fantastic, awesome Ultimate X type deal, but...
Book an Ultimate X match for the, you know, I don't know when a no compete clause is up, so, but just hypothetically, we'll say it's up in time for Slammiversary. You book an Ultimate X match with, Ultimate X's don't work with more than four guys. They really don't.
Oh yeah, they don't. They're car wrecks.
So you book a four way Ultimate X, and you have, Doug Williams is the former champ.
Actually, current. He got the belt
current
back.
Champ, sorry, current
he
champ.
Got the belt
got
back
at
the pay-per-view.
So you have Doug Williams, Frankie Kazarian, another contender, and then a mystery opponent. And the mystery guy would be Shelton Benjamin.
Okay. I like that. If you're thinking, God, TNA really sucks. Their money sucks. This sucks. That sucks. Well, thanks to the Wrestling Observer newsletter and our colleague, the god, people say he's an asshole, I say he's a god, deal with it. Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez reported that while attendance numbers vary market to market for TNA's house shows, the company is actually averaging about $20 per head for merchandise, which is up $6 from last year. The reason? It isn't the D'Angelo De Niro glasses. It's Don West, who goes on house shows and gives a live presentation to the fans. And Jeff Jarrett is also currently running the house shows creatively, while Jeremy and Don West put together the wrestling aspects of the show. The only minor issue is that Jarrett is booking some of the shows that they don't go together well with the weekly Impact show. Now, Vince Russo was supposedly asked to help book so they would follow storylines. Apparently he didn't want to do it, because apparently he lives within 5 minutes of a recent event that was in Colorado, and he's, nah, I'm not going. Now, most of the TNA brass, like Russo and Bischoff, have largely stayed away. Bischoff has been to about two events so far since starting, and Hulk Hogan, shock of shocks, hasn't attended a show either. I've said it before, I'll say it again, and I'm going to let Spug answer, go with this before. I've said this for years, going to the Impact Zone, which is probably a conceit, maybe 900, I don't know. I never counted them, including the standing room pit people. Until TNA is on a level where they're drawing whatever WWE had last night on their show, they're averaging probably at least 10 to 15,000. There was 70-some-odd thousand at WrestleMania. Until you start drawing that on a consistent basis, TNA is always going to be number two and has ROH and other companies biting at the heels. I know ROH doesn't draw 10, 15, 20,000 either.
ROH is a better product. It's just poorly advertised. I guarantee you, if ROH had better advertisement, they would. They're on TV, but ROH isn't advertised as well as it should be past the Pennsylvania-Ohio border.
Right.
You know, if ROH was better advertised, I guarantee you they'd overtake TNA, one. And two, I said it before and I'll say it again. Get rid of Russo, get rid of Bischoff, get rid of Hogan. Don't let Jarrett book anything. I don't care if he owns the company. Bring in Paul Heyman. Let Paul Heyman book your shows. Don't let him touch your checkbook. But let him book your shows. Go run the old ECW circuit, the Agora, the Hammerstein Ballroom, places like that, that seat 2 and 3 and 4,000. Fill those up on a consistent basis. Run pay-per-views from date and areas like that, smaller venues. Get a show on Thursday nights that's live for 2 hours. Don't try to go up against WWE. Go Thursday nights for 2 hours. People already know where you are on Thursday nights. They know what time you're on. You go live every Thursday for 2 hours. Don't tape 3 weeks in advance. And I guarantee you, you will be on the level of WWE as far as competition is concerned within 3 years.
I couldn't agree more. And I've never understood. I did find out from a friend, Danielle, that lives in the Jersey area. TNA is doing weird shows. They're running in Brooklyn. I think it's at the stadium that the New York Cyclones, the Brooklyn Cyclones, which is a single-A Mets team, is going to do. And I know they've done, I believe they've done Hammerstein, or they've done the old Westbury Music Fair out on Long Island. Can't go wrong. I've said it for a long while. I never understood why they moved from Thursday to go head-to-head, play with the big boys, whatever Dixie and them said. Stay on Thursday, enjoy your niche, use all the
fire. Because Bischoff
like
and Hogan's egos thought they could beat them. They saw 1.8 rating for the first night they went up against Raw, and their eyes got real big.
Yeah, on that note, speaking of egos, we're going to give ours a break for a minute. When we come back, we're going to take care of some news and notes, including some info about a former WWE referee who opened a referee school. So if you're thinking, dude, I want to be a ref like Mike Chioda, I'm going to give you how the heck you can learn to be one. That's Spug from WTR. I'm Alan Wojcik. This is OWW Radio, 888-357-9876, option 1 if you want to join us. We'll be back after this super cool break.
Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Otaku Talk Live, all you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
Hey guys, this is Scott Hudson. I've been in WCW, WWE, and TNA, but no time is like the time I spend on Wild Talk Radio.
Now, if I picked music on this show, you'd be dying. Fans would be like, what the hell is he picking, man? Does this guy live outside of the 1980s? OWW Radio, back on the air. That's right. We are sponsored by OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. They own us. They control us. And I'm very happy to have Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich as my sugar daddies, I guess you could call them. I don't know. Sorry for the misdirection in our press release, but yeah, some guy named Damian Christopher was supposed to host, and he disappeared. I don't know what happened to him. Hey, Spug, in all of your time in the ring, have you ever had as a referee the kid known as Mike Posey? Did I lose him? I may have lost Spug.
I have my microphone muted.
Okay. Have you ever dealt with him?
I haven't. I've heard the name, but I've never had any run-ins with him. Can I say something real quick, though?
Sure.
I want to send out my condolences to Paul Gray's family.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't know who Paul Gray is, Paul Gray was the bassist of the band Slipknot, who had many a war with a local band here from Cleveland. Perhaps you might have heard of them. They're named Mushroomhead.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw Slipknot live several times. I had the chance to meet Slipknot a couple of times. They're all cool guys, all of them. And despite what anybody might say about Paul Gray, he really was that nice of a guy. He was awesome. I remember standing outside a show one night, and there might have been 300 people out there waiting for autographs, and he signed every one. So my condolences to Paul, the Paul Gray family, and the Slipknot fan base.
I totally second that. It's been a rough. If you're a fan of music, I know this isn't the show for it, but if you're a fan of music, you had that passing, and you had one of the metal gods, Ronnie James Dio, pass away.
Don't forget about Peter Steele.
Yeah, we also had that too. So it's been a rough week if you're a music person. I brought up Mike Posey because, as I said, if you want to be a referee, check this out. Mike Posey, in conjunction with Ultimate NWA, which I believe operates in the northern and central Alabama area, have opened the Mike Posey Professional Referee School. Stay with me. I know I'm going to bore the crap out of people, but this resume is interesting. Mike Posey has a 10-year experience in professional wrestling as a referee and a wrestler. He currently wrestles, I believe, for NWA Main Event, Mike Porter's promotion out of Columbia and also in the Nashville area. And I didn't know this to look at the dude. He is a certified personal trainer. Yeah, he worked for TNA, he worked for WWE, and now with his help and guidance, aspiring wrestling referees can realize their dream and get their start in wrestling by signing up for the school. Now, if you live in central and northern Alabama, they're going to take place before any Ultimate NWA event. And potential students must be willing to travel, set up and tear down rings, and sacrifice their time and effort, just as all the current referees that work for WWE and TNA have done before them. And yeah, if you're wondering, dude, who sets up that ring at WWE? It's the refs. They're involved with a huge-ass production crew. If you want to know the pricing and details, email M, as in Mike, P-O-S-E-Y, 1078 at yahoo.com. I wish him nothing but the best. The kid was really good when he was in TNA wrestling and jumped. He literally jumped. He's like, hey, look at that ECW thing. I'm gone. I'm not saying Mace isn't a good referee, but I mean, if Mace can do it, probably anybody can ref.
You laugh and poke fun, but how many a good match has been ruined by a bad referee?
I can think of a few that I've seen in person.
Exactly. Referees really are the unsung hero and component of great matches, because while you have the psychology and you have the two, and I know I'm breaking kayfabe, but I'm sorry.
You're fine.
And you have the two guys in the ring who are the main components of the match. It's that referee who's the all-important detail, because that referee keeps an eye on the time on the clock, has the finish in his head, knows who's supposed to go over, can adjust on the fly if something's wrong, somebody gets hurt, or things aren't going the way they should. The ref controls a great deal in that ring. And bad referees are a dime a dozen in today's day and age. And for somebody to open up a professional referee school, I'm all for it. I really do wish him luck. I hope several good referees come out of that.
I hope so, too, because I, unlike some people that have radio shows, I actually go out and cover events. And I've done it in Tennessee, I've done it in Indiana, I've done it here in Florida for years. And I can name some referees. A guy of referees down here in Florida, his name is Billy Dalton. He's worked for FCW, he's worked for ACW, and tons of promotions, including Full Impact Pro, run by the folks that run Evolve right now in the Jersey area. And I've always said it to Billy. I'm like, dude, how the hell do you do it? He says, I just stay the hell out of their way. And if they decide that they want me to take a ref bump, I do it. And if you're a fan of the business, do this to me as a small favor. Watch Monday Night Raw or SmackDown or ECW or TNA. Watch the match and watch whoever's in the ring, be it Mike Chioda, Slick Johnson, Andrew Thomas, whoever. And look at their ear. And I don't know if Spug's wants me to break the fake. I've already broken kayfabe tons of times. They have a neat little earpiece in their ear that at the gorilla position, all hail Gorilla Monsoon, they're being told, all right, you got 5 minutes left in this match. Look back to, I believe it was The Rock, Triple H, and Kurt Angle, where Kurt Angle got knocked on his ass in a match. Doesn't even remember half the match. Triple H said it best. Earl Hebner is standing there in the earpiece, and they're screaming at the back, telling him, do this, do that, the other thing. And Triple H is on, and it's all one of the Triple H game DVDs. He said, Earl, F off. I know what I'm doing. So I wish him the best, too. I could totally, totally dig it. Oh, it was SummerSlam 2000. Thank you, Rockin. Yeah, I agree with you. It can make or break. Unless you're Danny Davis and you're doing a referee heel turn, and then who cares?
You know, it, the other the other thing that is unsung along a ringside is a good manager or valet.
They have those?
They used to, you know, and they were guys like, you know, just little known guys like Bobby Heenan and Mr. Fuji.
Never heard of them.
and Slick, you know, just guys like that. Paul Ellering, J.J. Dillon, nobody's really.
Well, that's something that I'm surprised hasn't gone on. I mean, let's look at the roster for a second of both companies. Manager. Natty Neidhart. I guess she's a manager. I'm going to go to you on this one because, I mean, I cover the stuff, but I'm not in the locker room. I'm not walking through the curtain and high-fiving and telling fans to F off. Explain to fans that don't know the mechanics of it. Which do you feel is better? And you can join us on the phones, 888-357-9876, option 1, or Sorokin as a Skyper. The role of a manager predominantly was as a heel. And you had a handful, and I mean very small handful, of baby facers. Elizabeth, if you want to call her a manager, the late Elizabeth Hewlett, may she rest in peace, comes to mind. But everyone going back to the Grand Wizard. And if you don't know who he is, wow, give me one of your man cards right now because you have no business listening to this show if you don't know the Grand Wizard or Lou Albano is.
Oh, come on. If you're going to throw out the Grand Wizard and Lou Albano, you better name the manager of all managers.
Go ahead. Say one for him, please.
Classy Freddie Blassie.
Well, I'm talking before Blassie was even a manager. You had, I mean, just think back to the traditional, I'm trying to get to the babyface thing real quick. I can only name maybe two before Albano turned baby in the 80s. Arnold Skoland and Elizabeth are the only two that I could possibly come to mind. So take us into the ring for a second here. Have you ever had a manager in a match with you that you were just like, dude, you have no freaking clue what you're doing, and in your mind, if you're, school us, fans that don't know it, what a good manager like a Bobby Heenan, Fuji, Blassie, Slick, whoever you can think of, Heyman back in the day, Cornette back in the day, what their role should be and should not be in a match.
Oh, I don't know if you know this, but I'm not really what you would call a popular guy.
You? Really?
So,
damn.
Yeah. So I wouldn't know the face aspect, because I've never played a face. Ever. I've never been a face. I know, kind of a shock.
I can't. I always pictured you as a high-fiving type of guy. I mean, you told stories. You know, not, you know, knocking people out.
We were at...
And insulting disabled children, but...
Come on, I spit in a kid's face for fun. It was water. I mean, I didn't really spit on him. And I talked to his mom about it before I did it. His mom thought it was fine. But we were at one show. I was at a show in Decatur, Illinois. And the promoter comes up to me and says, "You're going to play a face tonight." I went, "What? Of all the tapes I've sent you, what about that says... we're going to make this guy a good guy. They don't know you here. You could be smile, wave." He's like, "Lose the towel." Because for a while there, I don't know how much you know about metal. But there's a band out of Sweden called Amon Amarth. And they have a song called... What's that?
I've heard of them. I'm not like a connoisseur of them, but I've heard of them.
There's a song by them called Death and Fire, and it's about the coming of the end of the world. But anyway, it's an awesome song. Got a great guitar solo, awesome, awesome heavy song. And I did the old Taz thing where I had the shredded towel over my face and I'd come out with the MMA gloves and I had a shirt that just said on the front, it just had my ring name, and on the back it said tap it or snap it. And so, you know, I'd go to the ring and people automatically would just hate me. I wouldn't say a word. And he's like, don't do that ring. Come out, smile, and be happy. I'm like, what about my gimmick tells you that I'm going to be happy? And so he says, fine. We'll get you a manager for the night. And I'm like, all right. And I had a manager in my promotion that I wrestled for out here for a while. I worked with a guy, good friend of mine, actually. He used to be on the network. DL Havoc was my manager for a little bit. But he and I were also tag team partners. So, you know, he's kind of, you know, just your tag partner coming to the ring with you. So they pair me up with this guy, and he puts on this kind of like checkered pajama pants and this Adidas shirt with this gold kind of like Fry Kid wig.
What?
Yeah. And I forget what they called him. But I forget what he called himself, but he was the manager of the Stars. And he was a face. And we're wrestling and we're going through the match. And we're in this tag match and I'm wrestling this guy. And I look at him and the crowd, they all have this look on their face like, huh? What is this? Because the guys we're wrestling are playing people who obviously frequent San Francisco. Think Billy and Chuck.
Okay, I don't want that image, but thank you, sir.
But more Queer Eye. Not more straight guy, more Queer Eye. I mean, they were, and one of them really was gay, which was, he was hilarious. I loved wrestling him. He was funny. And those are stories for off the air, because I can't use that kind of language.
Yeah, Brad and Jason don't want us to, so we're going to abide by the rules of the house. I have no problem with that.
But we're going through this match, and I'm wrestling this guy, and I said, this isn't working. And he goes, I know. He says, what do you want to do? I'm going to hit you with it and bump and roll out, powder out of the ring. And I said, I'm going to go grab my manager. And so he threw me to the ropes. I hit my finisher. He kicks out at two. He powders out. I go over to the ropes, and I spin my manager around. I'm like, you grab my foot. He's like, what, what? I'm like, you grab my foot. Tried to trip me. Cost me the match. I walk out of the ring and decked him, and I caught him. I mean, I didn't even pull it. I decked him.
All right.
Flat on. Knocked him on his butt. And the crowd went nuts. Nuts. And so I get him in the ring, and I beat the crap out of him. And the match ends. The ref throws out the match. I get in the back. The promoter, I've never heard a promoter yell that loud. And he used every word I could think of. Every obscenity I could think of.
And there's a lot.
There's a lot. He used every, why'd you do that? You ruined the whole gimmick. Now we gotta make you a heel. And so I said, I'll prove you a point. I guarantee you I'll walk out there, I'll be over with the crowd, they'll make me a face. And he goes, what? I was like, let me do a run-in and hit a heel. I guarantee you they'll let, dude, so I did a run-in in the main event and hit the main heel. And helped babyface go over. Crowd loved it. Loved it. And so I was the face for one night.
Jeez.
It was the only time I really worked with a manager who was... A bad manager can ruin a gimmick. Because if you have somebody with golden Fry Kid hair and giant glasses who looks like a retard...
I can't even picture this. It's hard to do, and I got a vivid imagination.
Dude, it was bad.
So for every WWE TNA, for every WWE Hall of Fame manager, there's this guy. If you could take a former manager like a Heenan, like any of the names that we have mentioned, and you could plug them in to the current WWE, we'll do more WWE because they've got two, three different shows going on right now. Give me a couple wrestlers And in case you're just joining us at 11 o'clock, where have you been for the last hour and a half on OWW Radio? I'm Alan Wojcik, that's Bug, joining me from WTR, which is available Sunday nights on this same network at 10 o'clock. If you could pick maybe two or three, and I know I'm giving you that option as opposed to pinning you to one. You got to pick one, dude. Give me two or three that you could see and go, yeah, he's a real great wrestler, and he's probably mid-card, but could use someone like Heenan, like a Fuji, Slick, Cornette. Who would you slap them with and pick? Give me a couple.
I could rebuild the Heenan family. There's a list that I could take Heenan and go, I'm going to put this guy, this guy, and this guy with it. Because I think Orton needs a manager. As much as I like Orton, I think Orton is a face. You need a manager. And think about it. You had guys like Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude back in the day who were awesome on the mic, but they had that extra caveat in Bobby Heenan. So I would put, first and foremost, I would put Randy Orton with Bobby Heenan.
It's an interesting selection. Who else? Okay, so you're rebuilding the Heenan family. Who are you putting in there? Who else do you put in the new Heenan family?
Obviously, you need your giant, so I'd say Big Show. The tag team. See, it's weird because there were so many different members of the Heenan family at various points. I mean, you had your tactician in Mr. Perfect, who to me is more of a Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase Jr. type. I would say more Cody Rhodes. You had your all around just great heel in you had your great heel in Rick Rude, which is Randy Orton. So I mean, you got him. You got your giant in the Big Show, and then you had your token tag team. And I think the best heel tag team going on right now is Miz and Chris Jericho.
It would be interesting. I could think of a couple real fast off the top of my head. The first guy I got to slap a manager with, even though he's very comical when he does talk, Vladimir Kozlov. Give him a manager. Give him Blassie. Bring Nikolai Volkov out of retirement and say, here, he's a fellow comrade. I'm going to use him. That kind of thing.
That would work. I could see Volkov. Nikita Koloff's still kicking around, isn't he?
Yeah, Scott's still, I think his name is Scott Simpson. He's still around the business. And that blew my socks off. If you ever want to borrow a DVD, borrow a face, I think it's called My Story or Face to Face, something on the Kayfabe commentary setup. They did a DVD with Magnum TA and Nikita Koloff, and I had never, ever heard him talk outside of the whole Uncle Ivan accent. It's a dude from Minnesota. You want to talk about one of the greatest gimmicks ever? I was like, holy crap!
Yeah. I mean,
blew my socks off to the other room. But that's
throw,
the problem. He
throw Nikita Koloff out there. Throw Nikita Koloff out there. Somebody with him. You know, the one manager that I always despised, hated, only because he was so good at his job, was Mr. Fuji.
Oh, yeah.
If Fuji, man, I tell you what, I want to see somebody the likes of Fuji come back and manage.
So if you could get in your hot tub time machine, cheap plug there, you're bringing Fuji back from, you're bringing him back.
Oh, yeah.
Bring him up.
I'm bringing old school Fuji back. Because food, I mean, with the cane and the salt and the little pompadour fedora thing and that little Fu Manchu in the suit. He was so unassuming when you walked out with whoever he had. And for those that have never heard Fuji talk, really, He always made it sound like his English was horrible.
Right. Oh, God.
He always made it sound like he could speak, like, three words in English, and that was it. And the dude is so fluent.
Oh, yeah, one of the best gimmicks going back in the day with Toru Tanaka as a tag team. I mean, I'm not old enough to remember seeing them in person. I saw them on film. I know you hate talking TNA, but, I mean, for the longest while when I was covering TNA, they had one for the longest while. It was Scott D'Amore. And they were grooming Chris Candido before he passed away. He was managing the Naturals when they won the world tag belts. And he was going to be groomed, and there was rumors of Tammy coming in possibly to take it over. Could you possibly see a legend like that if TNA could be in the Wayback Machine? If who on the TNA roster? Obviously, AJ's doing awesome with Ric Flair. And Desmond Wolfe's got his girl, you know, covers your Randy Savage type quota.
Well, Abyss has Desmond Wolfe's girl right now.
Right. But then you had Father James Mitchell there with Abyss for a while, and that worked too. Give me a couple of your TNA faves that you say, yeah, they're right on the cusp, but they need a manager, and give me a manager. Just from the list that we've talked about.
Here's one that I think would be awesome, if not only just for camera value. Slick and the Pope.
Oh, wow.
Think about that. That is gold.
So you're going to have Slick standing there raining down the money like the Pope does.
Exactly. You put Slick with the Pope, and it's greatness right there.
Now, do you give the heel Slick, or do you give him the Reverend Slick?
Could you do a heel Reverend? You know what I mean? Kind of like Devon did way back in the day?
Oh, God, yeah. You had to go to the old Dave Batista footage, which, in case you missed it earlier, folks, Future Endeavors, Dave, we love you. Thanks for coming. Hope to see you in a new movie. Where it was, I think, Deacon Batista.
That would
be the other thing, that they take a wrestler that's not sitting somewhere. I mean, that's how Roddy Piper got a start in WWE, or WWF back in the day. He had come off of that feud with Greg Valentine, and his ear wasn't 100%, and they were like, you're going to manage a little bit, Roddy, go right ahead.
Roddy Piper is gold on a microphone, and I would blasphemy to the point to say that in some cases, he's better than Ric Flair on a microphone. I love Ric Flair, but there's just, in some cases, Roddy Piper was much better on a microphone than Ric Flair was. I would like to see Piper manage a loudmouth in TNA. I think Piper would make a great manager.
Well, they had him there for a little while. He was showing up in Nashville on the weekly basis, and then next thing you know, it's like, yeah, I'm done. Sorry, take this tape the Piper's going to talk about. Bang, smash, no more Roddy Piper. I would love to see Rob Terry get a manager, because he's good as a face, but I dug him as a heel. He started in FCW before Dolph Ziggler became Dolph Ziggler. He was Nick Nemeth's bodyguard, so to speak.
Rob Terry's Australian, right?
I think he's from the British Isles. I could be wrong. Oh, I think he's
I know
British
Williams,
Isles.
Williams is British, too.
Right, that's how he got in the British Invasion gimmick.
Right. Well, if you got both Brits, if William Regal were a free agent, I'd say bring them over. Bring William Regal over. William Regal is actually an excellent manager.
Well, they've got Dave Taylor. I think he was in or out for a little while as a road agent along with Simon Diamond and the group over there.
Let Dave Taylor do it. You know, the problem is there's several possibilities sitting on their roster, on both respective rosters, WWE sure. and TNA, that have great managing potential. that have the ability to become really good managers. And it's just utilizing it and realizing how important that little underappreciated and underestimated aspect of wrestling, how important it really is.
And I brought up the babyface thing because I was never a fan of the babyface type manager, and Bug may back me on this, he may not. Fans may back me on this, they may not. But unlike the previous regime, opinions are welcome here. All a babyface manager ever did was just, when their guy was down and it was heel time, all I did was just bang on the mat and, you know, go Robbie, go. Go Robbie, go. That's all they're there for. You're never going to see Elizabeth back in her prime grab somebody's leg and trip their ass up. You are never going to see Arnold Skolin do that. You are never going to see superstar Billy Graham, when he came back and was managing Don the Rock Morocco, do that.
No, but what they're there for is to get the crowd behind the babyface. And they do their job, respectively. And you bring up Elizabeth, and I have to bring up her counterpart.
Mm-hmm.
Who probably is one of the most underrated managers ever, God rest her soul. And the sensational queen, Sherry.
Oh, yeah. I'd love some sensational Sherry as a manager. She was awesome.
I mean, you look at look at her pedigree. Ted DiBiase, Macho Man Randy Savage, Shawn Michaels. Look at the list that she managed. It's just, it's insane.
Think back to the days. I mean, you got to remember, it's probably like tag team wrestling was for a while. It was a lost art. I remember joking around on the TNA when they had Simon Diamond was doing his thing with Elix Skipper and David Young, and I joke with Simon, Pat Kinney's using his real name again. Well, he's a friend and great wrestler, and I joked with him, and I said, "You having fun doing this?" He said, "Hell yeah, I'm not taking bumps. I gotta take an occasional bump. I get hit in the head by a baseball plate from AJ Brzezinski and Johnny Damon, but it's a lost art. Maybe a manager somewhere should open up a school. I don't know." One of the folks in the WTR chat room mentioned if Bill Alfonso would help
Randy Williams.
I knew his online name, but I didn't know that was his real name.
Yeah, Randy. Randy runs a blog.
Okay.
Sun City SmackDown, I do believe. Yeah, you know how we joke on WTR about when Randy calls in that he's either early or late.
Yeah, okay.
For the longest time, Randy would call in at 12:30 p.m. on the dot. So we judge the time of how long we've been going on the show by whether or not Randy has called in or not.
Called in at 12:30 a.m. on the button, wow.
On the button, dude.
It's a lost art. I wish it would happen some more in promotions. Maybe the era of... You know, at one point in promotions, you had a Cornette, Heyman, Missy Hyatt, Games Master Kev, Taskmaster, whatever Kevin Sullivan was called at. In the chat room, Jersey Girl says, I would want Katie Leah, the former Katie Leah Burschel in WWE, to come over to TNA to manage Rob Terry.
That could work.
It's an interesting pairing, too. I mean, Rob's a big, huge dude who, he falls into the Bobby Lashley school. A big, huge dude.
With a little bitty voice.
And that's not a slap on Rob, because I've met him a few times at FCW events, and he's a great person to talk to.
Well, it's the same thing with Abyss. Have you ever seen Chris without the mask?
Absolutely. I've sat with him at TA. Best story I can ever tell about TNA events. Go ahead and tell your thing about Abyss real fast, and I'll tell mine.
Well, I'm sorry. He's a nice guy. He did a couple of bookings up at CAPW and a couple other places where I got to be a dark match at an indie show, but I got to be one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a card studded full of stars, and it was cool just to sit in that locker room and listen to him talk. But unfortunately for Chris, It looks like somebody hit him in the face with a spiked 2x4 on his way out of the gene pool.
Oh.
I love him to death. He's such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
But looks are not on his end.
Well, fans that don't know it, if you're not a fan of TNA before it started, he used to wrestle, I think it was for NWA Wildside or Anarchy, and he wrestled in the Tennessee area as, I believe it was Prince Justice. And think back to Bound for Glory 2005. This is the weekend that Abyss and Sabu nearly killed each other.
Great
in Barbed
match.
Wire Massacre. This is a weekend that one of the last hurricanes of 2005 decided to run through Florida. The next morning, this is the night of the pay-per-view. The next morning, the hurricane hits. They're doing TV on Tuesday. Go downstairs. I'm staying in the same hotel as the talent, the Doubletree, thanks to some friends, LaVon and Cindy. Come downstairs and we're like, oh yeah, it's bad. We're gonna book the room for another night. Go outside and it's pouring. It's a category 2. The winds are strong. And sitting out there in this storm in the lob, out on the little veranda area there, are Cassidy Riley, who used to be in a hot shot with Chase Stevens, and Abyss. And they're just sitting there smoking cigarettes. And they're like, it's 70 mile an hour winds, whatever it is, and you two morons are out here. They're like, we've never been in a hurricane. This is awesome. I'm like, get your damn asses back in the building. He is the way that Spoke just mentioned it. And when he started talking, my jaw hit the floor. And I'm not talking about Chris Parks. I'm talking the Abyss, the character. When he had the Sinister Minister as his guidance, he was gold.
I wish they would have kept that.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, once Kane talked, you're just like, mystery over, thank you. If you're in our chat room, please give us some more names if you want. 888-357-9876, option 1. Skype Sorokin if you want to join us in this chat. Yeah, we're doing some overtime here, but hey, I can go as long as I want, because I got the microphone, and as Adam Sandler said, you know, sucker! There's a couple others on the TNA roster that I could see. And then you also got to look at some of the indies, and unfortunately ROH and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla are considered indies. I'm going to bring a name up that most fans probably don't even realize is a manager. If you watch TNA Wrestling or have been at live events, there's a nice young red-headed girl at ringside that Dave Penzer, Future Endeavors, Dave, we love you, used to call TNA's cheerleader. Her stage name is SoCal Val. Now, if you've never been to a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla event, Full Impact Pro, back in the day at the IPW Hardcore, NWA Florida, or anywhere in the country, and you've never seen SoCal Val as a manager, or you just saw her a little bit on TNA when they were doing the Sanjay Dutt, Jay Lethal, marry me, don't marry me, whatever thing, you haven't seen a heel manager. Her role model's in the business, and I've interviewed Val. She's an awesome kid. I've known her since she's 15, 16 years old, and has built a reputation in a good way in this industry. Her role models are two people that were very good managers also. Missy Hyatt, Francine, and Dawn Marie.
I wouldn't say Dawn Marie was a good manager.
Well, I mean, at least she was there. She did her job for what she did. I'm not saying she's like the greatest manager of all time, but for the product that ECW was back in the day, Dawn did her job. She was great with the Impact players. She was great with her thing. I'm not saying she was the most spectacular manager ever, dude.
No, and the problem is because of her gimmick in ECW, she got labeled a ditz, and Dawn is a very sweet girl.
Oh, yeah. But I would love to see the handcuffs off and let Val. If you can Google SoCal Val or find her on YouTube and some old matches that she did, for a while she was a manager of the Heartbreak Express, who have been, one of them has been a guest on this show, Superstar Shawn Davis, the former AWA World Tag Champs, FIP, they've held belts all over the place. She's been with Joey Magnum Ryan, Scott Lost, whole bunch of the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla guys. I never understood. When they first signed Val over there, I was happy for Val. I was like, cool, you're going to do this, going to do that. She's like, well, they're going to let me just do the ringside thing for a while, and we'll see what happens. And that was in 2004. I was like, okay, Val, Any day now, dude. Any night now, dude. I would have liked to have seen that angle go a little more that they were doing with Sanjay and Jay, but anybody you think of, there's certain guys, like I've said, no, that like they're so over, they don't need a championship. There's certain people that are so over, I can never see them with a manager. And the first one comes to mind is someone that we know Mace hates, and that's Mr. Ken Anderson. There's certain guys, like, I could never buy someone like The Rock with a manager. I could never see it. I mean, I always was told back in the day by some of the guys like a Mike Graham, like a Steve Kern, who has forgotten more about the business than I'll ever frickin' know. Mr. Jerry Jarrett have always said, back in their era, in the 70s, in the early 80s, chances are if you couldn't put five words together in a coherent sentence, usually this was the following statement. This is so-and-so, he's going to be your manager. And that was it. If you couldn't talk, or they didn't want you to talk, like Abyss, like for a while there, Samoa Joe, like Sabu, Hadvill, Alfonso, that was it. You were labeled manager.
You know who's somebody who I think would make a really good manager? Is Taz. I think
they
if you took...
the chance. Once again, they had the chance.
I think Taz... And you have to match him up with somebody who matched his in-ring persona. And I think I think Taz with Samoa Joe would be awesome.
They did
it.
That was a problem. That was the thing that pissed me off.
If you could get in a hot tub time machine and go back and say, all right, we're going to forget the fact that we tried to make him TNA's Umaga. We're going to forget all this. We're going to go back to... the Joe's gonna kill you days. And we have Taz. We're gonna put Joe in the ring and Taz is gonna talk for you. You're not gonna say a word, you're just gonna destroy people. And by the way, while you're at it, next time somebody comes running across the ropes, drop him on his head like you did the Necro Butcher.
Oh God, that's a good name. Yep, 888-357-9876, option 1. Yeah, we're doing a little overtime here on OWW Radio with the new revolution, so to speak. I guess we can call it that. The new era in OWW entertainment. I am Alan Logic, that is Spugs. Sir Rockin is on the Skype if you want to join us here.
I'm going to invite Mace to take my spot right now because I got to bolt. It's 11:30 East Coast time, and I got to be at work at 7 a.m. So... I'm gonna bolt on out of here because I need to shower. I'm still all covered in grass and dirt and mulch.
That's an awesome image. Thank you so much for that.
It's an awesome smell, I tell you. I'm sitting here in my office with the door shut and a little fan. Every time it blows past me, I'm like, oh, is that me? Gross.
Before he leaves, I'm going to let you fans know if you liked what he said, if you don't like what he said. He's a regular member of the Wild Talk Radio Network. He's got a couple shows on this network that you can find at wildtalkradio.com. He's normally featured on Wrestle Talk Radio, which is on this network 10 p.m. Sundays. And after pay-per-views like we were last past Sunday at 11 o'clock, I may or may not be making guest spots in there. But I don't care because the previous regime kind of frowned on that. I don't care. Speaking of current regimes, the one and only Mace from WTR is joining us. How are you, Mace?
I'm good, Alan. I sort of heard my cue there to be tagged in. It was force tag, if anything.
It was a blind tag. It was a blind tag.
He's dying.
It's a blind tag. But I tell you what.
As long as the referee saw it, it's all legal. It's okay.
We're in. I tell you what. You forgot one show, though, Alan. And Mace and I are both on it, too.
Which one?
That would be Otaku Talk Live.
Ah, cool. Hey, somebody that actually took advantage of the thing. Before we get Mace in this conversation, Randy McWilliams, the man whose blog was just mentioned by the Spug, is joining us. Welcome to OWW Radio, sir.
That's good. Thank you, Alan. And I got to thank Spug for that plug a little later. But yeah, I have a little blog and all, Sun City Smackdown. Site www.fromheadlocksheadlines.com. You might want to check that out. I should write a new one pretty soon, but we'll see what happens. But going on managers thing, sometimes I feel a manager is good, but sometimes once you get rid of the manager, there's nothing left to him. Case in point, Kevin Thorne. Ariel was the only reason he pretty much got over with the gimmick. After her and Batista had a little argument, she's gone. Kevin Thorne, oh well. Was he Mordecai before that? Did it last? He's gone. There was somebody else. Mark Barrow is another example with Sable.
Well, he's an interesting one to bring up because he was over so much in WCW that I guess they decided now we're not even going to bring that in here. And I guess that's a situation of your manager's overshadowing you big time. I mean, as a fan of the business, we've seen that happen where managers were just like, whoa, what the heck, dude? You know, you're supposed to have him over. I mean, I mentioned ROH a little while there. There's not that many managers in ROH. I know that Dave Prazak was in and out for a while, and Homicide had his crew for a while, and Nana's still going around there. Give me someone, Randy, and Mace can join us in a second here. All right, I mean, some people mentioned in chat, you had mentioned someone in chat. Give me someone else that you could think of, current WWE or TNA guy, that if you're on the booking staff, you're going, he's mid-card, but I want to push this guy Vince, and I want to put so-and-so with him. Past, present, any manager you can pick, put him with a present wrestler, and why?
I say you take this first, Mace.
Yeah, and I've actually got a very weird combination for you.
Go for it.
Even though the guy can already talk up a storm, just for the added notoriety, if anything, put Pope D'Angelo De Niro with Diamond Dallas Page. Because believe it or not, Diamond Dallas Page originally was a manager.
Oh, yeah. He was one of the good ones. And he was one of the only reasons to watch AWA programming back in the late 80s.
Yeah, and he's also known as a big self-help motivator guru. So why not take advantage of that and use that to elevate the talent up using a guy who does it in real life?
Well, Spug brought up this matchup that since you brought up Pope, he brought up Slick with the Pope. Now, if you have DDP with Pope, are you still keeping Pope a baby, or is Pope turning on the Popey people, whatever the heck his fans are called? I can't even remember. So many
congregation.
Oh, that's what it is. It's the congregation. Okay. Could he turn heel with DDP, or is DDP so known that it's got to be a babyface combo?
I'd say it's probably more of a babyface combo only due to the initial sort of welcome back reaction that Diamond Dallas Page would get if he suddenly showed up in TNA. But then again, a lot of people would be asking him, why aren't you wrestling? So, who knows?
Okay, since we bought you some time there, Randy, who do you got?
Alright, one person I'm thinking who really needs a manager is Drew McIntyre. Because he's really not getting over with the whole, I can't even do a Scottish accent. Mr. McMahon is trying to just help me out. I'm the chosen one or whatever, something like that. But I'd put maybe Heenan. I think Heenan could probably work with Drew McIntyre somewhat. Or maybe G Hart, so that there's a little more enthusiasm from McIntyre's part.
I'd be very iffy about Heenan, especially due to sort of the way he looks. He's not as quick-witted as he used to be these days. Heenan in his prime, definitely.
That's what we're doing. We're basically taking people in their actual prime from wherever they are, bring them in the guy in the 80s, the Grand Wizard of the 70s, the Arnold Skolin of the late 70s. And bring whoever you want. Don Tolles when he was a coach for Kurt Hennig. Anyone. You know, you could see. I'm one of those people that I wish Mr. Perfect was still alive. God rest his soul. He passed away here in Florida a few years ago. I wish Perfect was still around. Because you could put him with so many of the top talent guys. And also brought up was the late sensational Sherry Martel. They teased her for a little while when Robert Roode had set up Robert Rudink with Tracy Brooks eventually as his manager, and they brought her in. They brought Colonel Robert Parker in. They brought in a few other people. I would have loved to have seen a Sherry Martel with any of the top people. I could have seen her instead of Ric Flair. I could kind of see her with AJ. I could see her with Desmond Wolfe. I could see her with the Pope. You know, she did awesome with Harlem Heat back in the day. She did all, I mean, like they said back in the day, if you were in WWF and you were one of the top, you were mid-carded, look at Shawn Michaels. The legend that Shawn Michaels is now, he wouldn't have gotten there, gotten a little bit of a push if Pat Patterson or someone hadn't suggested, you're brand new to the single, dude, we got to get you somebody, here's Sherry. I had brought up Vladimir Kozlov earlier as someone who needed a manager. I haven't thought of Drew McIntyre, though, because the kid's pretty strong on the mic. But as you said, this whole I run to Vince McMahon for my, you know, I lose my belt, I run to Vince McMahon, that's got to die off at some point. Anyone else you can think of, either one of you, the forum is yours. Opinions are welcome here, unlike the previous regime.
See, this is one guy I'd love to see return only because he did so well in ECW originally is Cyrus. But I have no idea who I'd put him with.
I can see him with Drew McIntyre, maybe.
Yeah,
because they both kind of have a
very business-minded like guy.
Well, he didn't do too bad when he was in TNA doing his Don Callis. I'm the director of authority, one of the 700 I think they had when they were doing the weekly pay-per-views in Nashville. And he was one of those guys that I was seeing on the weekly pay-per-views when I was at the events, and I'm going, "This is cool. He's here. Anybody want to like, yo, Jeff, come here. This guy can work." Get managed, come on. And would you like to see, I know we're rehashing old gimmicks, but that seems to be the thing in this industry. Would you like to see someone like Scott D'Amore come back and focus on one guy? Or, oh, there's a name I didn't think of. There's a girl in chat room, if you're a part of the wildtalkradio.com, you can go and listen to our show, the Ustream. She's got a mention of former ECW manager Joel Gertner, that she would like to see him with Team 3D, the former Dudley Boys. And if you've never seen the Dudley Boys as a heel,
you think
what they did in TNA recently or have done in other promotions in WWE, get a copy of WWE's Rise and Fall of ECW DVD.
Yes.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Watch the promo from Heat Wave 99. One of the things they just say to the fans. I cannot say half the things, but... ooh, yeah, that was... and Gertner was very controversial, too, because I remember there was two of them. One that I've heard and one I can't find. There was when he talked about how he hit harder than the tree that hit Sonny Bono.
Ooh.
And there was...
go ahead.
And he brought up a reference after JFK Jr. had died. He did, I think, like a glug-glug sound or whatever, like drowning or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah, here's a name that's not used too often because most people don't think of him as a manager, but if you're a fan of the TNA back in the... before the Spike TV era... when they were on FSN, when they were still doing it. And I know I wish Tracy Brooks was still around because she was another great manager, but someone who was right along with that was the franchise Shane Douglas. When he was doing his little thing with Michael Shane, Matt Bentley, whatever, I can't call him Michael Shane because of the all that craziness. That's the thing that I would like to see. I would like to see certain people... no, like I mentioned, Randy, with Ric Flair before, that him being involved with AJ is great. I would love to see some of the guys from the 80s, instead of coming back and saying, like Hogan, like Flair, no, brother, I can't manage, I can't sit behind a desk, I gotta be the main event. I would love to see someone like that. Spug mentioned putting Nikita Koloff, of all people, with Vladimir Kozlov. Is there a wrestler from the 80s that you maybe were a fan of that you were going, I could see that guy transitioning into a wrestler? Because it happened back in the day. Keenan was a wrestler. Fuji was a wrestler. Classic Freddie Blassie was one of the biggest heels in California wrestling history. Is there someone you could think of, star of the 80s, early 90s, that you could say, dude, manager, book it?
I could see Dasher Hall now, even though they're still kind of active wrestlers, but that might work, I feel.
Okay, Mace has been having technical difficulties. Damn you, Skype, even though we love you very much. What I proposed to Randy Mace is, if there's a star from the 80s or early 90s that you sat there and said, wow, that guy would make a great manager somewhere down the road, give me two or three you think of and say, yeah, that works. Hey, Vince Russo. Hey, Vince McMahon and your 75 writers. Book that idea. And not just with a nostalgia kick to get ratings. I mean, just that it would make a good combo, that it would get a star who is mid-card, get him into the next echelon, get him some credibility. Like I said, Spug had mentioned putting Nikita Koloff, the former NWA star, with a Vladimir Kozlov. Is there a star you could think of? Could you see a Ricky Steamboat coming as a babyface with Dean Malenko or Arn? And they have Arn Anderson on their roster. You got all these legends in your locker room already. Could you see them transitioning and saying, yeah, we're just going to use you every so often, give this one guy a push. There's a kid in FCW, we want to move along. Is there anybody you can think of?
I can see...
I'd probably go with...
Let me go for a second, Anderson. Rick.
Yeah.
Arn Anderson with Skip Sheffield.
That's an interesting pairing.
And if they didn't already screw it up by stuffing the storyline over, I would have had Ted Jr. with his old man.
Yeah, I could have seen either that, or good thing you said that, Mace. I was thinking maybe IRS with Ted DiBiase now.
Yeah.
Well, that may have been something they were leading to with that whole Fortunate Sons gimmick. That may have been a type of thing where Irwin R. Scheister or Ted DiBiase come out every so often and say, remember, we're the ones that are funding this project or funding these boys. That could have been something, like if Kurt Hennig hadn't passed away. His son is one of the biggest guys in FCW right now that was in line to be in the Fortunate Sons gimmick. 888-357-9876, option one is the way to join us. Or if you're like Randy and you have Skype, Skypes are rocking and you can be with us here. We're going to go till midnight because, well, we can. Topic is managers. It's a lost art in the business because I can't think of that many that are around right now. I mean, there's so many great people that could talk in the 80s. I would have loved to have seen Hogan come in and instead of be this backstage, I'm in charge, brother. And thank God they changed the way they were going, because if you didn't ever see it, go back and look at when he tried to heel out Jeff Jarrett and saw how bad that backfired. I would have liked to have seen him come in and say, I know I'm an icon, I know I'm this and that, but I want to help the next generation of stars that are just on the echelon. Maybe he said it, maybe he didn't, because the guy says so much, I'm never sure what to buy anymore. That, you know, I've been watching this product for a while, brother, and there's this one guy that I say, you know, I think is the future of this business, and I'm going to advise him, blah, blah, blah. That would have worked a lot better for me. Ric Flair with AJ Styles and Desmond Wolfe and Beer Money, that works for me. I could see, there's so many guys from the 80s. I mean, I would love to see, even though Shawn Michaels said, you know, I'm done. I could see Shawn Michaels as a manager. I could see... there's so many. I mean, give me... If you guys have any names, feel free to bowl him out there, and who you would possibly match him up with.
The unfortunate Suns gimmick you had there. I'd like to see Dusty Rhodes grab pretty much all his kids, especially Dustin, and just slap him across the face, say, drop the face paint. You are Rhodes. Start acting like one. Put the Rhodes boys together and give their old man as the manager.
That would be interesting. What do you think about that? Mm-hmm.
I can see that working. Because they kind of teased every once in a while a feud maybe between Goldust and now the Uncommon Man or what the Uncommon Cody Rhodes, whatever his gimmick is to get over. But maybe they could do that. But for Dustin Rhodes, it seems like he's never really been able to have a gimmick that really worked outside of Goldust, or if he's himself, because let's not forget what the horror that was Black Rain.
Oh, we really have to.
Yeah, I know I had to bring that up. But we'll have to see where you could go with the Rhodes. And one person I was thinking as a manager, and I know Mace will like this, Raven.
Yeah, okay. But the unfortunate thing with the Raven character is it's not much of a managerial guy. He's always been by himself, or he's been in control of a group. I couldn't see him with just one person.
Unless it's Johnny Polo all over again, which some people don't even remember. We got someone in the chat room. She keeps giving great, great things here, but you can call in. The chat room's awesome, but you can call in. You don't have to be afraid of us. We don't bite. I know I've had my shots. I don't know about everybody else. Jersey Girl once again has put up here. She said she'd like to see Shawn Michaels managing the former Matt Sydal, currently Evan Bourne. That's an interesting pairing. I don't know. I think Evan gets over pretty well as he is as a babyface. He needs to lay off the tanning stuff a little bit, which is just a joke I've had with Matt at a couple events that I've seen him at since he left. And to go back to stuff, and there's certain guys I would like to see him do it in his career later on. It's a current star that a lot of people are probably going to go, nah, I don't dig it. I'm going to throw a name out there that if he, heaven forbid, knock on a stat big thing of wood, he ever got injured, I would love to see Montel Vontavious Porter as a manager down the road.
Yeah, I could see that. I was actually thinking he would be somebody to give a manager to. But as who should manage him, I have no idea.
I could see Slick, why not? Put the heel Slick with the heel MVP.
Yeah, that would work. I could see Slick, or there's somebody, I don't know if he would work though, but I was thinking maybe Clarence Mason.
Oh, there's an oldie but a goodie. No one's brought up people like Downtown Bruno or anybody like, I mean, could you see Cornette, take the 80s Cornette, put him somewhere, could you put him with anyone right now, and it doesn't have to be a tag team, because he was awesome with the Midnight Express in every incarnation they had, well maybe not Bob and Bart, but I digress, could you see him 80s wise come in?
Yeah, with Santino Marella.
Stop that, man. The Miz.
Or Santino just for the fact that we like seeing Santino do the ha-ha funny.
No, that was more of a joke, but...
Okay, I appreciate
that. That would be kind of interesting seeing Santino Marella and Jim Cornette. They could kind of play off the real-life thing, have Cornette always mad at Santino or whatever, and...
That person was scared at him. And if you don't know what we're talking about there either, you need to surrender another man card, because that's a joke going back for years. One thing I wish that had happened was that Paul Heyman had not left WWE the way he did. because I actually, for people that hate Paul as a business person, and I know Spug likes him as a writer and everything, one of the best pairings that happened in the last few years was the next big thing, Brock Lesnar with Paul Heyman. Until Brock got to the point where he didn't need a manager. That's a classic example of fans are looking for what's Alan trying to accomplish with this thing, except like hearing him talk. That's an example of a guy who he was kind of over. He beat the crap out of the Hardys. Next thing you know, Paul Heyman's with him. Bang, instant credibility. Oh, that's a low blow. Only because I'm friends with Cowboy James Storm. Jersey Girl says, and for whatever reason, I would like to see Scott Hall manage Beer Money. I think that would be as funny as hell.
That would end in disaster. Storm would end up killing Hall because Hall's drunk all the beer.
I know.
And I can testify as a witness to it at TNA after events. I've seen James Storm put away beer. Like, I'm just like, dude, I know you can drink, but damn, dude, holy God, you got to eat some food with that beer. Nah, I'm good, dude, I got beer. By the way, would you mind stuffing these in your pants as we walk out the door? What am I doing with the beers? Put them in your pants. Yes, sir. It was that Bound for Glory story that I was talking about with this. James Storm and I went to go watch a Monday Night Football game at the Ale House, and he poured in a bucket of beer, and he didn't finish them, and he starts stuffing them in his pockets. So, what are you doing, dude? Just follow my lead. I'm like, okay. 888-357-9876, option 1. You can join us on the Skype. This is the brand new OWW Radio. If you didn't join us earlier at 9:30, yes, I am Alan Wojcik. Thanks to the blessings of Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich, I am the host right now. That's Mace, who's also a part of WTR family with a bunch of shows. He's normally on the Sunday Night Wrestle Talk radio show. We're also joined by our caller, Randy McWilliams, who's got an awesome blog. And when we end the show, I'll let him plug his thing again. Sir Rockin' has been really quiet. I think he's having some post-birthday cakes. Happy birthday again to Rockin', who's enjoying his Philadelphia Flyers going to the Cup Finals, which I think begins this Saturday. Yeah, I'm talking hockey again. Sorry, Mace. I know you get that with Tim all the time. If there's one thing that we've learned all about here tonight, kids, it's that simple. Managing's a lost frickin' art. Now, before I go back to Randy for a second, I asked Spug this question, and for fans that don't know who Mace is, Mace lives in Australia, and Mace, like Spug, is a wrestler. Have you ever been in a situation, Mace, where you've been in a match and the manager for your opponent or your own manager screwed the pooch big time and made it into, as Mick Foley likes to call, a four-finger stinker? And what happened?
I can actually throw back to a very recent show that I did over in Adelaide where I was actually refereeing, not so much wrestling as I've got some injuries at the moment that I'm taking care of. But one of the managers there, he's like Rashid something or other, I can't remember the name, it's too many alphabet letters in it. He kept getting on my nerves all night. Every time he'd do something and I'd catch him, I'm left with no reason or anything to keep him around. Like, he'd grab my leg, pull me out of the ring and everything, go to throw a punch, or he'd start physically grabbing and trying to rough me up. Mind you, this guy's like three-quarters of my size. I could snap him like a twig. But the fact remains, you put your hands on a referee as a manager, you're going to get thrown out. So I'm trying to throw the guy out, and he's like, I can't go, I can't go. And I keep telling him, you're giving me no choice. Get the out, you know. He just kept doing it and doing it and doing it, and I had no choice. I pretty much stood in the corner and went, you know what, screw a lot of yous, and just watched him screw the entire match up. When it came back, I went, not my fault. I only counted a 3 count.
Wow. I'm going to bring up mine real quick before Randy goes again. I used to do the music and other stuff for a promotion here in Florida called American Combat Wrestling, which I think is ACW Underground now. I was the heel owner for a little while under a name other than my own. And they decided, because I was covering TNA, and this was when TNA taped on a different day than the Tuesday night that ACW ran. And they pulled me in the back, me and this other guy with a ring announcer named Scott Evil. No, not spelled like Scotty Do movie reference. Yeah, I know. And they're like, okay, we're gonna take the character, you're gonna take your owner character away, we're gonna transition you to a manager. Yeah, right, that didn't happen, in case you went to ACW shows. And they say to me, okay, see, this is Big Jim, he's one of our investors, Money Mark. And you're going to go out, you're going to cut a promo saying, due to business adventures elsewhere, you're going to step away, and he's going to take over. Okay, cool, fine, whatever, I don't give a crap. So Scott and I hit the ring, we do our thing, blah, 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 we introduce Jim. He comes out and says that he's going to be a hands-off person, he's not going to interfere, he's just going to observe this and that and everything. And this kid named Legion Cage, who I believe still wrestles up north, wrestled here in Florida. Him and his manager hit the ring. They do their match. He's a heel. During the match, the manager goes to do her heel thing. And instead of Jim just sitting off to the side, and this guy had nothing. My dog has more background in the business than this guy did. He gets right up as the manager is trying to cheat. He actually physically puts her hands on the manager and tells her to stop what she's doing. And the look on my, and Scott and I are, I'm typing away like I normally do at shows, and Scott and I are going, yeah, this is way better than the two of us. The wrestler who was in the match literally came out and nearly decked the guy. Had to have security for the bar. It was done at a place called Bourbon Street Nightclub here in Newport Richey, Florida. And that was like the worst experience I had ever seen. Has there been a show, Randy, as a fan you've ever gone to that you can remember where it was just like, what the hell is going on here? What is this manager doing? I mean, my chair sitting next to me can manage better than this guy.
Sure. No, I haven't really been to a lot of shows, but one funny thing that I thought that happened was, because I went to a house show in Las Cruces last year, and I was hoping to go to another one this year, but it doesn't look like I would go. But anyway, and it was a match between, who was it? It was Dolph Ziggler and CM Punk.
Oh,
and CM Punk was pretty over. Yeah, it was a pretty good match. Ziggler got good heat there, too. And so Punk wins with the GTS. And then I'm all, like, talking to whoever was there, like, oh, yeah, Punk won. And then all of a sudden, I see somebody get in the ring and start hugging CM Punk. And I didn't find out till later it was, like, a guy. And I was like, what the F just happened here? And then security takes him out, and then it was just surreal seeing... And if I ever get a chance to talk to, CM Punk, I'm going to ask him about that day.
Well, who knows? Brad and Jason have pretty good contacts in the industry. We may start getting WWE talent on here. I would love to see it. I want to thank Randy for joining us here. Give a plug again on what your blog is, sir, and how
all
we
right,
can find it.
My blog is Sun City Smackdown. You can check it out on this website I happen to work for called From Headlocks to Headlines. It's www.fromheadlockstoheadlines.com. Pretty good blog. I write about what I do, maybe do predictions every once in a while, because I usually write them on Saturdays, but my schedule's been kind of busy. I even have a little watchable meter that I do now for NXT and Impact to see from 1 through 10 to see, is it worth watching? And I'm going to add more for NXT, whatever. But, yeah, that's it. Check out Sun City Smackdown on from headlocksheadlines.com. Thank you for the plug, and thank you for letting me on the show.
Absolutely wonderful. That's Randy McWilliams joining us here on OWW Radio. And Randy mentioned NXT, and I know Mace gets it on tape delay, so he may want to cover his ears here for a second. In case I didn't get to watch NXT yet, but thanks to Universal HD, I get to watch it this Saturday. Handsome Heath Slater, Heath Miller when he was formerly in FCW, is your latest adios from NXT. So I believe that leaves Otunga.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, Otunga's left. The South African guy, Gabriel, and Wade Barrett are your final three. And before we go, as someone that's in the business, Mace, and a fan of the industry, when you see that as your final three and you had someone like Bryan Danielson on your thing, are you sitting there going, this NXT thing just totally lost all credibility? Or are you saying, yeah, I'm kind of happy with that final three?
Man, I went and flushed NXT's credibility down the toilet, especially after hearing that. Slater was the last guy that I personally thought had enough ability in the ring, had good enough character, and even seeing some of his stuff from FCW, he's one of these guys who has a great look about him when he's allowed to use his proper look.
Right.
He was one of the guys I would have put up there to win the competition. But now it looks like we're probably going to get Barrett for some reason, or Otunga, because they can get quote-unquote publicity with his connection to his girlfriend, who the hell she is. I can't even remember her name.
Jennifer Hudson, the Academy Award winner. Jennifer Hudson is his wife, girlfriend, whoever. Unlike our previous regime, I actually watch wrestling, and I'm actually dying to see, don't spoil it for me, anyone that's listening or in the chat room, don't tell me what Bryan Danielson did tonight. That was the thing that really shocked me out of everything here with NXT, is, I mean, from day one, it was just the weirdest show ever of the way it was originally presented by the big guy himself, Mr. McMahon. He came out, it's going to be revolutionary, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I was like, cool, so what are they going to do? They're going to take him, they're going to do like behind the scenes, behind the music type, true Hollywood story type on the guys, and maybe see him training with the coaches and like some FCW stuff. And instead you've got basically a WWE version of the 80s game show Double Dare. And if you don't know Double Dare, that's fine. I'm sure you can find it somewhere on a DVD. But if you were one of the FCW guys, Mace, and we're going to start wrapping it up, fans, in a couple minutes here. If you were one of the FCW talents, like a Caval, like the Usos who just debuted last night killing the Hart Dynasty, and you're presented this idea of you want to, would you have done NXT, or would you have said, I don't really feel like selling programs on TV or doing some of the crap they've had these kids do? Or are you saying, like, I'm sure these eight guys did, it's in my contract, this is how I get on TV, I guess I'm going to have to do it?
Yeah, it's pretty much a bit of both. Personally, I wouldn't want to go on something like NXT and have to sell programs, run around beer kegs and stuff like that. You know, it's silly work, but at the same time, it's getting my face on TV, getting me noticed, and that could lead into being called up to the main roster. So it's sort of a 50-50 thing. I wouldn't want to do it, but I'd do it because it'd be what would further my career.
Could you see this as a second season somewhere on another NBC Universal network, or you think, God, this has been a car wreck, why would I ever want a green light season two of this show?
I'd definitely be, why would I want a green light second season at all? I know they've got time to fill before they bring SmackDown over, but yeah, find something else. Hell, even put on the Vintage Collection in the meantime. You know, I'd rather watch old 80s WWF stuff than another season of NXT at this point.
Well, we'll see what happens. Apparently, Sci-Fi is kind of on the fence if they're going to. I think there's supposedly, and Rock can come back me on this if I'm wrong, that a season two was supposed to take place by as soon as this one ended. I think it's supposed to be in June. We're going to thank Mace for his time with us here. If you like hearing him and you liked hearing Spug, they do Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday nights, 10 o'clock on this same network, 11 after the pay-per-view. And I know you've got a couple other shows besides that one, so plug your stuff, dude.
Well, I do have a column that I do from time to time also on FromHeadlocksToHeadlines.com called From the Mind of Mace. I am planning to bring that back very soon with a double episode review of Wrestlelicious, which I'm sure will make Alan very happy. and also, if you want to hear sort of a geeky gaming, anime, cartoons, hell, we talk midgets and all sorts of other stuff. If you just want a random show to fill in a couple of hours, come on over, listen to Spug Omega and myself on Otaku Talk Live from 9 p.m. tomorrow night. And who knows what we're going to go on about. We don't even know until we say it.
All right. I want to thank Mace for joining us here. I got a couple things I want to plug real fast. If you like what you heard here tonight, and if you didn't, let us know. There's a neat forum on the onlineworldofwrestling.com site. It's called OWW Genesis. And you can talk WWE, you can talk TNA, ROH, Indies, you name it, it's there. There's a thing called Blog Says. There's a What If area where you can put matchups, kind of like what we did here tonight with the managers and current stars of the 80s. I personally want to thank Tim Stein, Sir Rockin, my bosses, Brad Dykens and Jason Dedrich, for standing by me during what possibly was the worst time in my 9 years of working in professional wrestling last week. And I didn't want to have happen what have happened, and I wish the past regime nothing but the best. Yeah, I snowed you all by saying some guy named Damian Christopher was hosting tonight, but as one of my favorite tag teams, America's Most Wanted, used to say, sorry about your damn luck. So Rockin's going to play some awesome music for us right now. It is one of my favorite songs. It's You Join Jezebel by KMFDM. We will be back here every Tuesday night. It's either 9 or 9:30. That's still going to be worked out. And as you found out tonight, we'll talk till we run out of material, folks. OWW Radio is sponsored by OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Definitely go there. It is the number one site for everything you want to do. ClickWrestle.com is where you can find our archives. You can go to Online World of Wrestling. If you Google them on Facebook, that is our current way of you communicating with us. You can communicate with me through Facebook. I'm Alan Wojcik. I don't hide behind a screen name or a stage name or anything else. Not saying that's what Mace or anybody else does, because that's their thing. All right. This has been OWW Radio. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Tuesday night.